Dear Mrs. Bird, by A.J. Pearce, read by Anna Popplewell. London, December 1940. Chapter 1. An advertisement in the newspaper. When I first saw the advertisement in the newspaper, I thought I might actually burst. I'd had a rather cheerful day so far, despite the Luftwaffe annoying everyone by making us all late for work. And then I'd managed to get hold of an onion, which was very good news for a stew. But when I saw the announcement, I could not have been more cock-a-hoop. It was 3:15, on one of those wretched December afternoons when the day seemed to start getting dark before it had quite made up its mind to be light. And even with two vests and a greatcoat on, it was impossible to get warm. Sitting on the top deck of the number 24 bus, I could see my breath if I huffed. I was on my way home from my job as a secretary at Strawman's Solicitors and looking forward to a sit-down before my overnight shift on the fire station telephones. I had already read every word of the Evening Chronicle's news pages and was now looking at the horoscopes, which I didn't believe in, but thought worth a go just in case. For my best friend, Bunty, it said, "You will be in the money soon enough. Lucky animal, polecat," which was promising. And for me, "Things may pick up eventually. Lucky fish, cod," which in comparison was rather a dud. And then I saw it. Under situations vacant, squeezed between a position for jam boilers, no experience necessary, and a mature supervisor at an overalls factory, references preferred. "Junior wanted. Part-time junior required at Launceston Press Limited, publishers of the London Evening Chronicle. Must be capable, enthusiastic, hard worker, with 60 words per minute typing and 110 words per minute shorthand. Letters soonest to Mrs. H. Bird, Launceston Press Limited, Launceston House, London, EC4. It was the best job I had ever seen in my life. If there was anything I wanted most in the world, other, of course, than for the war to end and Hitler to die a quite grisly death, it was to be a journalist. Or, to be precise, what people in the know referred to as a lady war correspondent. For the last 10 years, ever since I'd won a trip to the local newspaper as my prize for writing a quite dreadful poem when I was 12, I had dreamt of a journalistic career. Now my heart beat like anything, thumping through the vests and the greatcoat and threatening to leap right out and onto the lady in the next seat. I was jolly grateful for the job at Strawman's, but I was desperate to learn how to be a reporter. The sort of person who always had a notebook in hand, ready to sniff out political intrigue, launch difficult questions at governmental representatives, or best of all, leap onto the last plane to a far-off country in order to send back vital reports of resistance and war. At school, my teachers had told me to simmer down and not have such excitable aspirations, even if English was my best subject. They stopped me writing to the Prime Minister about his foreign policy for the school magazine as well. It had been a dispiriting start. Since then, I had persevered. But finding a job when I had almost no experience had proved tricky, especially as I had set my heart on working for a newspaper in London's Fleet Street. Although in general an optimist, even I didn't think 3 summer holidays writing for the Little Whitfield Gazette was going to get me to Berlin. But now, here was my chance. I examined the advert again, wondering if I might make the grade. Capable. That was me, even if I wasn't sure what they wanted me to be capable of. Enthusiastic. I'd say. I was very nearly shouting like a mad person on the bus. Hard worker. I would sleep on the office floor if that's what it took. I couldn't wait to apply. I rang the bell to get off at the next stop, and at the jaunty ping, the bus began to slow down. I grabbed my handbag, gas mask, and the onion, shoved the newspaper under my arm, and hurried downstairs double quick